Welcome back to Corporate Strategy, the podcast that could have been an email. I'm Bruce.
And I'm Clark.
And Clark is going to recite us a holiday fairy tale. Go, Clark.
You know, we were trying to just spitball this earlier, and I could not come up with anything. It just felt right for the intro. So, you know, well, it was the night before Christmas weekend.
Yes.
And all throughout the corporate business, corporate scenario, whatever you want to call it. Not a manager was stirring. Not even an escalation. Is that good? Is there anything else?
Well, I think there, I mean, but deep down, underneath it all, one did stir, for he was a micromanager and felt that his presence must be known. So he sent out an email on Christmas Eve to let everyone know how big his ego was. None of that rhymed, but, you know.
No, it was good, though. It was very eerie and very accurate for the email we're all going to get tomorrow from that one person who's trying way too hard.
Way too hard to be seen. Happy holidays to our listeners. Our topic today is it's going to be a quick hit. We're going to do two. We're going to keep it festive. We're going to keep it thematic. And in line with the first part of our topic, Clark, what do you say to people this time of year? How do you keep it festive without offending somebody?
You know, when we were actually talking about this topic, it didn't hit me until this very moment. But something that I love doing this time of year, because I'm taking the last week off of the year. It's weird this year because it's both Christmas and also New Year's fall on a weekend. So we get like that Monday off. But either way, I'm taking the next week off, the last week of the year. So the best thing in the world to do right now is walk around to everybody and say, I'll see you next year, and just leave it at that.
Oh my gosh. I think you've said this before, and I hate it. I hated it the first time you said it, and I hate it even more this time. You're one of those people that wants to make the dad joke at any holiday expense.
You know, see, the beauty of it is you don't have to be sensitive to any sort of holiday. You don't have to worry about if you say anything that, you know, could be like very specific to the holiday you celebrate. And, you know, it's just fun. It gets everybody in a good mood to be like, oh, yeah, you're right. I will see you next year. I just think it's the right way to do it.
it's certainly a way to do it, Clark. There's no arguing that. I take a little bit of a different approach. If I know someone celebrates something, like they've mentioned they're excited for it or they're ready to go, I will wish them a happy whatever they celebrate. Because, you know, I'm paying attention. I'm listening. I'm not against celebrating anything. Celebrate whatever the heck you want. If I don't know, I will either just say, have a happy break, have a happy, I mean, holiday kind of implies that it's tied to an event. And listen, if you're the kind of person that gets offended when someone says happy holidays to you, I want you to just take a moment, look in the mirror, and reevaluate who you are as a person. Because that should not offend you. They're wishing
you well. Stop the podcast. Go to the mirror and do this. Because I guarantee you, your life will be better if you don't worry about those types of things.
Yes. If someone wishes you a happy holiday, just take it with grace and smile and wish them one back. Holiday can just literally mean a time away from a place or work. So it's not even inaccurate. Everyone's getting some time off, hopefully, unless you're a critical service worker. Which bless those people working the holidays every year. But I feel like you can easily get away with that. I like to drop a Seinfeld reference and say Festivus for the rest of us. can't go wrong with a good Seinfeld reference. You know, that dates us. But
I was about to say that probably doesn't land with a lot of people.
No. In fact, they're confused and they probably are offended. And you know what? Again, look in the mirror and ask yourself, should I be? Is this okay?
Am I going to be all right? Yeah, you know, that's a good one. I've seen, and I think I've actually done more this year than I've ever done, is the happy holidays. You know, personally, I've always celebrated Christmas my whole life. When I was first joining the corporate workforce, the first year I just said Merry Christmas because I didn't really know any different. I was just uncultured, I guess you could say. I wasn't like thinking about how sensitive I needed to be towards other people's holidays and all that. So I've definitely pulled off the reins of that. And now I, pun intended.
You pulled off the reins, huh? Like good old Saint Nick. Yeah.
And now I just throw out the happy holidays and happy new year because pretty much everybody celebrates new year, you know, starting the new year.
So, well, I mean, the Chinese do celebrate it at a different time of year.
Yeah, no, that's very true. So, that is
you gotta be careful with that too.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, and actually, when I was working, I was meeting with a couple international teams, both in China and also Japan. They were like, "Yeah, we'll be working. We don't really take off much time here." But a lot of people surprisingly told me they were like, "But yeah, we actually do like to celebrate because it's just a reason to celebrate." And I was like, "Hey, fair enough."
Let me ask you this, because I think this is true for many European folks as well. Would you rather that you get more time off individually throughout the year, or everyone gets a week off during the pre-Christmas or post-Christmas pre-New Year's?
Ooh. Yeah, because to your point, like some companies actually do shut down at the end of the year.
Yeah.
Which it's kind of like a reset for the following. That's a tough one. What do you think? I'm still kind of mulling over my answer.
I would much rather I had more time individually. If you're just like, yeah, you know, not we're going to work the days after Christmas because we're a business and we want to make money, but you get 2 months off in the year now. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No doubt in my mind. I don't need to celebrate it that bad. In fact, I'm going to hardly celebrate it at all. So we too celebrate Christmas barely. It's non-religious Christmas. But then that's kind of the thing too, is so many of these holidays, whether you're religious or not, they carry so little meaning anymore towards their original intent that I do feel like even if you drop a Merry Christmas, who are you actually going to offend? Christmas was invented by Coca-Cola to sell you more Coke. You know, at the end of the day.
Dark corporate strategy.biz turn for how the real world actually is in our Merry episode. How dare you, Bruce?
The amount of spending that just happens this time of year is insane. And I think that's actually a good lead into our topic of today, our primary topic, which is how do you ask for more money? You know, I thought, you know, given just the corporate greediness that comes with this time of year, we talk about how you get your gift, the greatest gift you can get, which is a little bit more in the bag, a little bit more in the take home every 2 weeks. So, Clark, what's your go-to strategy when you want more money?
You know, it's interesting that you bring this up, too, because I think around this time of year is obviously, you know, the reset before the next year, which usually is when performance evaluations are happening. So, you know, you're having those conversations with your management about, hey, how did I do this last year? What were my goals? Hopefully you had goals that you were actually working towards and you weren't just working towards an abyss, because it should be immeasurable. Just pro tip, listen to our episode on career growth, but always make sure you have goals. You know what you're working towards. Otherwise, you will just get caught saying, hey, great job, and you have nothing tangible to really work towards or how to get to that next level. So make sure you work with your management to set goals. But yeah, usually, you know, this time of year, a good company, if they're doing performance evaluations, will offer bonuses and also merit increases. And I think that's one way that I'd probably advise our listeners is you can use this as your opportunity or excuse to negotiate. I think it's really hard to come in cold and be like, I need more money. But around these times where it's a performance evaluation or, you know, you're up for a promotion, whatever it might be, those are your times to negotiate the salary so that you could bump it up for the next year. So if they come with you with one merit, you could be like, well, you know, I really was hoping to be at this year. You know, what are my chances that I could get this raised or moved up a little bit to be more competitive with the market or something along those lines? So I think it's a great time of year, since these conversations are happening, to take the opportunity to start having those discussions.
If
your company is doing it that way.
Yeah, I think, you know, every company, unless you're sort of an hourly employee, in which case it is different, but most salary-based companies do adjustments across the board at one point in time. My suggestion would be, just in line with exactly what you said, Clark, make sure that if you are going to ask for more, if you're going to take the action to, you know, before, get ahead of the curve, you know, and they say, okay, we're going to start doing merit increases, meet with your manager and bring a reason, possibly more than one. Actually, you should bring more than one reason why. I've definitely made the argument for myself to get more money. And I've been rejected for it, too. You were there when this happened. But, you know, I made the argument that, you know, I'm doing a level or two above where I was. I gave proof and pointed to all the things. And it came down to HR basically saying, like, no, we can't. We only have so much that we can give. And you're too young, so we're not going to give you any. So be older next time and try again.
So, sorry, bad culture, folks.
Yes, absolutely was. Had I known then what I know now, that was a sign that I should do the next thing, which is if you can prove with data that you have been going above and beyond and you do deserve a raise, a promotion, whatever, and you are rejected that thing because of some stupid corporate mandate or policy, it is time to leave. It is time to update the resume and look elsewhere for work, because you're never going to get that bump unless you change roles within your company or change companies entirely.
Absolutely. And yeah, it's to exactly your point, you know, understanding what you are working towards. That's why I think, you know, it's kind of building on everything I was saying before of you really need to make sure you understand what are my core job responsibilities and what are those things I'm working towards. And if you actually went above and beyond, you have a case that you can bring to them. And let's say they give you like the standard, hey, you met your expectations this year, so you're, you know, an effective employee. You can kind of take a look at that and be like, wait, hold on. You know, we agreed that this is what I was working towards to get to that next level. I think I went above and beyond the goals that we kind of set. Why does that not qualify for, you know, some additional funding or something along those lines? And you can even say, you know, I'd like to be considered for a higher merit increase or bigger bonus because of these facts. And if you still get turned down because of that, like in your case, Bruce, you know, exactly what you said, it's time to leave or evaluate, you know, is this the right place that I should be, especially considering we're about to join into a new year and it's a good time to kind of make a switch. I think it's absolutely, you know, the perfect time to start thinking about that if that's how your scenario goes down.
I think it's funny because there's a lot of, you know, we made the joke at the beginning about the micromanagers. There's a lot of micromanagers out there that would say,
oh, yeah,
you should be grateful you have a job. You know, if you got a 3% increase, you should be grateful because that's more than the hourly folks get. And let me tell you something. If you went above and beyond for a year and you put your whole self into your role, you didn't just do what was asked. You went above, beyond, and have measurable proof. You gave more than you were given because the contractual agreement is we're going to pay you X and you're going to deliver Y. And you delivered Y plus Z. So they got basically you plus uncontracted you for that year. And if they think in their warped, twisted little corporate minds that, you know what, we can squeeze another year out of this person because they're stupid enough to work twice as hard and we're going to only give them 3%. That is such a clear-cut indicator that you need to go. Right. You are not Absolutely. In a good culture. You're not in a good place and they don't respect you or your time. And anyone who says, well, you should be grateful for the job or the opportunity to work there is a monster. And they hang out with the Grinch and Krampus this time of year. And they all send emails on Christmas Day because that's how pathetic they are. They're like the Scrooges of the world. But you that's my take on that.
They're basically saying to your face, we don't appreciate the extra work you're doing.
Yes.
And at that point, it's like, okay, why would I even bother doing the work then if I'm not going to be compensated for it? How why would I even waste my time? And I can spend my time doing other things or, you know, finding another job, whatever that might be, where they actually appreciate the additional work that I'm doing.
Yeah. And the you should be grateful statement, just in general, it boggles the mind. We work so hard. We spend so much of our lives at these desks cranking out nothing to get paid fiat money that means nothing. You should be grateful is such a small-minded thing to say. So don't take it. Absolutely don't take it. Kick him in the face. Walk out of there.
Right in the face. Yeah, you know, definitely don't quit your job from what I'm about to say. But in tech, it's relatively easier compared to other industries to find another job, especially since, you know, COVID happened and everything's even more remote now. If you're in tech, like finding a job for you is not that hard. And I know sometimes it can be scary to make that leap. So don't quit your job and just assume it's going to be easy to find another one. Yeah. But, you know, relatively speaking, you should never hear, you should be thankful. The company should be like, hey, we should keep this person because it's hard to keep and retain talent. So they should be doing everything they can to keep you, especially if you're going above and beyond. So keep that in mind.
Yep.
And Bruce, you actually said something. You said an interesting number. You said 3%. And I want to talk about that just for a second. Do you? That's what people in the industry like to call the inflation raise.
Yes.
So 3% is like the standard industry, you know, hey, inflation's happening, you know, 3% increase is basically just saying, we're just bumping you to where the rest of the world and the price increases are going to make sure it's at least, you know, equitable to what it was previously. You're not actually gaining any money if you get a 3% raise. If you look at it comparatively, it's like prices rising and everything along those lines. So 3% is very much like, hey, it's just, you're going to be actually making the same amount of money you made last year, if not a little bit less, depending on inflation that year. So you should always be hoping you're getting above a 3% increase. And, you know, if you can get it 5 or above, that's really, to be competitive, if you're going above and beyond, that's absolutely what you should be getting.
Yeah. And I would argue even the 3% is unacceptable now, given how much inflation has occurred in the last year specifically. It's insulting to receive that. And, you know, if you're listening to this and this is the first time you've heard that 3% is just the inflation raise and it's kind of a gimme, and you have been going above and beyond and you got the 3%, again, it's time to evaluate. There are, unfortunately, less places to work this week than there was last week because it seems like budgets are tightening. The economy is starting to really do the alligator roll of death. So it might be hard times ahead, and it is a discussion you have to have with yourself, your family, your loved ones, whether or not it's time to pursue bigger, better things for more money or to just, you know, batten down the hatches and pull through it. Clark, I'm curious, when it comes to hourly workers, how do they get paid more money? Do you have any experience of that?
Yeah, I've got a little bit. I did a stint consulting for a little while where I was technically an hourly employee. So I didn't get benefits from the company. I didn't share the holidays from the company. But through the consulting firm I was with, I was basically an hourly contractor. And they provided some benefits. But it is a little bit different.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the times when you're signing up, in that case, not hourly, but if you're a contracted employee, you're kind of locked in at a rate. And I think the difference between that is you're not really treated as a normal employee at the company, so they don't do performance evaluations. They're never going to reevaluate your contract. But when your contract is about to be up, that's your opportunity to kind of either negotiate with your consulting firm for more funds, because usually they have some sort of comp ladder. And the higher position you are, you know, the higher rate you can receive, or if you have client satisfaction, whatever it is. So you kind of have to wait until your contract is up, because it's pretty well understood that your contract is locked in to whatever it is. But that's my main experience with it.
Yeah. I know that from a service industry perspective, it's even harder because, you know, no one expects you to work in this job for the rest of your life. It's not a career, you know, it's a high turnover job. But let's say you do want to make more in the place where you're at. I do feel like it's a use your own judgment gauge based on the time you've been there, based on the number of people they've brought in after you've joined. If you're comfortable talking ranges with the people you work with and you know that someone new is making more than you, I think you absolutely have every right to walk in and say, hey, I've been here for 7 months. I'm making less than this person who just joined. I outperform them in every way, shape, or form. Again, bring data. Always bring data to these conversations, because if you don't have data, you have nothing. It's just your word against theirs. But if you have data, they cannot argue with the provable fact of what you've brought. But make that argument. And again, if you don't get the raise, if you don't get what you're asking for, you're in a high turnover job. You know what this new person came in at where you are. So you can get that going to somewhere else just as easy and have no loyalty to a company that will not consider giving you more than the new people who just come in. So again, I feel like this is a very aggressive episode to the corporate entities, but they can afford this. They really can. They can afford to pay you what you're worth, especially if they're paying new
more
people
money than what they're expending. You know, that's how the business operates and that's how they functional. So they can definitely afford to pay you, let's say, $1 or $2 more an hour if you're working in those hourly senses, or if you're working in corporate, they can absolutely pay you more. The longer you're there, the more valuable you are, meaning they should be compensating you for the knowledge you've gained and what you've done. I think the one caveat to what you said, Bruce, is you kind of went into, you know, bring data. I think it's super important you do have those data points, but never name drop someone that you know. Like if I know Bruce is making 10,000 more than I am, I would never go in and be like, well, Bruce told me he's making this, because they could just flat out say, well, maybe that's not true. And you have no other way to prove it. But you can say, hey, you know, I'm hearing that, or I'm seeing these new job ranges that are coming in at this salary. And I think to be competitive with how long I've been here, or just like you said, if you're there for 7 months, it's like, I think I should be compensated higher than the new employees you're bringing in, even though I know it's harder to retain people right now. So they actually absolutely have to
raise
everything for that.
Yeah, and I agree with Clark. I do want to say never throw your homies under the bus, right? Mm-hmm. Like, don't name drop.
Don't say,
Janet, who's brand new, told me how much she makes, and now I'm gonna come in and make Janet look bad. Don't do that. Don't be that person. Everyone who works is in this struggle together. We need to support and elevate each other. Use percentages. Right. Say, hey, you know, I just did some research. I found out, you know, I'm 3% under the sort of average going rate of new employees. I think I should be adjusted above that, even given the performance I provide to the company. So it's all about how you frame it. And go ahead, Clark.
Oh, I was just going to say, along the lines of those conversations, I'm curious how you kind of prepare. You know, I think there's a little bit for these conversations, you do have to be prepared for different scenarios.
Yes.
Especially if you're in kind of the salary employee, you know, kind of bracket, and you're going into knowing you're about to get a merit increase and you're about to walk through your performance. Definitely, you know, have the facts, build your case, and kind of prepare for what they're going to say. If they're going to say, kind of prepare for the couple scenarios where either A, they say you're underperforming, so we're going to give you less of a merit increase, or you're meeting expectations, even though you thought you went above and beyond. And kind of role play it a little bit in your head to be like, okay, if they tell me a 3%, then I'd be like, well, I actually think I went above and beyond my job expectations for this year, and kind of be ready to state those out.
Yes.
And I actually did that. You know, I recently had a promotion about 5 or 6 months ago, and I knew the range they were going to bring me in would be kind of at or a little bit lower than it probably should be. So I did my research online. I took a percentage off of what I saw online because of where I'm located. And then I kind of said, okay, I'm ready for this conversation, and this is what I'm going to try to negotiate at. And if they can even hit a little bit under what I'm trying to do, I'll be happy. And so I kind of went a little bit higher, knowing that they would come back and say, hey, this is our best. So
nice.
I was able to kind of negotiate that. But I think it's really good to kind of prepare for those scenarios so that you can tackle it.
I love it. And that's the way to do it. Clark is a master at this, so definitely take his word over mine. But I will say, just keeping in theme of the episode, if on the off chance they say, no, screw you, we don't have the budget — that's a lie, they do have the budget — or they say, oh, we're going to adjust you in 6 months, that's also just a bad excuse. They could do it right now. There's no reason to wait. And you decide, I'm going to leave the company. Do make sure, if you leave this time of year and you know this person celebrates Christmas, that you wish them a happy Hanukkah or a happy Kwanzaa on your way out, because there is nothing they can do to you. And that was just going to make them stew and writhe and, ugh, how dare they be nice to me in the wrong way. So, that, you know, that's my final piece of advice in regards to the leaving.
The good old Christmas smite as you're walking out the door.
Oh, you don't celebrate anything at all? Merry Christmas. Enjoy. Hope you have a wonderful one.
I hope you get 20 customer escalations Christmas Day.
Yes. You got anything else, Clark?
No, I think it was good. You know, I think we will probably try to do one more before the end of the year. You know, kind of a New Year's episode if we can. Jump into that, getting ready for the next year. Hey, wait, is it time for a retrospective?
You know what? The New Year's retrospective, I think, is in order.
Oh, man. It's time. Oof. We should go back and listen to the things we said and play like In the Arms of the Angels on all the things we didn't do.
Do you want to be disappointed?
What better way to start the year?
Do you want to just feel bad about
it? With a little anger, you know, of saying, man, kicking ourselves in the butt for not doing the things we said we would.
You know, we're at 60 episodes now. We've had over 5,000 downloads since we've started. We're going to do a new season, new year, new season. So, you know, if you're on certain podcast vendors, you're going to just see like one episode and you have to go back in time to find the old stuff. Changes are coming, but not the kind of changes you'd hope for. I think we should do it, Clark. I'm ready.
I like it. I say we do it. Make it happen.
All right. Well, we will re-adjourn next week. I hope whatever you celebrate or don't celebrate, you have good time off, or you're planning to take some time off in the future. You deserve it because you listen to this podcast, and that already tells me what kind of person you are. It's the best kind. Thank you so much for listening. As always, if you have topics for us, go through our website. We've been very active on LinkedIn as of late, and that's because we've got a little elf in our workshop that's been helping us out build these these posts, put them together for us so we can get them on LinkedIn every day. We really appreciate that special little elf of ours. He's doing a bang-up job, and hopefully you're getting something out of it too. So reach out to us on LinkedIn if you want. That's probably the best way. We're checking it all the time. Go to our website. You can reach out to us there too. Give us a 5-star rating. If you're feeling really nice, you want to give us a present in this festive time of year, we would really appreciate the 5-star rating. But otherwise, we hope you have a magical, marvelous little break up ahead. And as always, I'm Bruce.
And I'm Clark.
And you're on mute. We'll see you next week.